Welcome back. Yeah, it's been a pretty hectic morning. So we continue our discussions focusing on the budget. The budget and business. And who better to speak to us about business? Representing the TNT Chamber of Industry and Commerce, CEO Stephen Degans. Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning, Satish.
Nice to have you with us here this morning. And of course, as well, Chair of the Chamber, that's Curtis Williams. Good morning to you, joining us via Zoom. Nice to have you with us as well this morning.
Morning to everyone.
I know we're off to just a bit of a late start. When you're dealing with live interviews, these things happen, so my apologies. But let's get straight into it. Our budget for the coming financial year is going to be presented by our Minister of Finance on Monday. And of course, the TNT Chamber of Industry and Commerce will have some of its issues that it would like to see addressed. Some things that the Chamber would hope that the Minister focuses on in the next financial year, and those would range. I'm sure that you would have had discussions amongst yourself, amongst your membership, of what the members of your business chamber would want. So let's find out from you. The budget is going to be presented on Monday. What is the TNT Chamber of Industry and Commerce looking to see or hoping to see in this budget presentation? Let's begin with you, Mr. Degans.
Well, thanks a lot, Satish. I was kind of wondering if you were in our offices, because really you have gone through what our process has been for the last few months.
I'll fly on the wall.
What we try to do is collect some information from our membership about what they think would help move the country forward in an economic direction. And of course, looking for all areas, not just economic, but social as well, and see how we could get those types of suggestions to the minister. Now, the minister is very open in that he has asked several business organizations to provide them with recommendations. And we do that. And I think this year the due date was July 31st. It was a bit of a rush earlier than last year. But I'm sure it gave him time to distill some of those suggestions or recommendations from the different business groups. We also had a slightly different twist this year in that we engaged with him by telephone, and we also had a consultation where we talked about our budget recommendations and why we thought they were pertinent.
Mm.
So what we're hoping to see is a growth budget. We've all talked about the diversification of the industries by not depending on oil and gas. And believe me, I love the oil and gas. I'm thrilled that we've had it for so long, but there will come a time when we're not going to have it, and we have to be mindful for that. So we need to prepare for things in the event that we don't get the fines that we were looking at.
Mm.
And we would like to see a budget that proposes how we can get more foreign exchange into the country or spend less. And that's going to be done by food security, creating our own breadbasket here within Trinidad as well as within the CARICOM region, and growing what we need instead of importing so much, as well as we think development of the tourism sector. And if we develop the tourism sector a little bit more, and it can be tailored to how Trinidad and Tobago is, it doesn't have to be a traditional sense, but if we do it a little bit more along the lines of what we are good at, we can certainly attract more foreign exchange into the country, which would certainly ease the burden and, of course, bring our economy and spread the money right around.
Mr. Williams, as chair of the chamber, you would as well have been involved. If I were to say to you, tell me, what are two of the major challenges confronting businesses at this point in time in this country? What would that be?
Well, in Tobago, two of the major challenges facing us is getting payment from the state, even the TCH, after performing duties or supplying them with goods and services. We know that's very, very critical. And the other problem or challenge that we may have is seeking financing, raising financing from the banking sector, due to the fact that the bank don't have that great appetite for tourism project in Tobago unless the government gives some sort of backing. So we are watching and we are holding our breath on this upcoming budget, and it's very, very critical. It will be very, very critical for us. Looking at some of the critical issues that we have on island, and we want to make sure that the budget really drives essential development on the island as well. So we will be waiting with bated breath on Monday to see what that budget will give us.
Just like the rest of the country, everyone is waiting with bated breath, because with Colin Mbembe as Minister of Finance, you really can't tell. He's such an unpredictable character, and I say that in the greatest of respect when it comes to financial the presentation of the budget. People are always interested to know what's going on, what has gone on, and probably what we need to look at in the future. How has the foreign exchange issue impacted on your membership?
Well, I'll take that first, and then maybe you can talk about it. Go ahead, Stephen. Oh, sorry. Satish, as we are in Trinidad at the moment, we cater to a large part of the small and medium enterprises section of the market, which you may know is the group that would be using their credit card.
Just need to pull the microphone a bit closer.
Recent credit card change that was implemented by one of the major banks has made things a little bit difficult, because before that it was difficult to secure foreign exchange to pay for goods, bringing it into the country and things like that. So now that another source that people were using quite innovatively, where they would put their purchases on their credit cards and then cycle it through, has now been cut back. That has made a difference to them. I know the minister has expressed that we are spending a lot more foreign exchange than we had in the last 2 or 3 years on an annual basis. It's projected to be close to $2 billion this year, whereas in the past it had been closer to 1.3. And without getting that money from oil and gas, or the money that we are typically expected to get from oil and gas revenues and natural gas being exported, we need to find it somewhere else. So that's why we have this crunch at the moment. The ministry periodically does inject some, or the central bank periodically does inject some additional foreign exchange, but we can't be irresponsible in our usage either. That's why I'm suggesting that the country really needs to earn foreign exchange from different sources. We need to make sure that we get more foreign exchange from other areas. And traditionally, we get it on the oil and gas. We need to start getting it from other areas as well.
And Mr. Williams, you wanted to add it to this discussion?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, across in Tobago, tourism is our biggest foreign exchange earner, and so it's important that we look at it in a holistic manner. In instance of direct foreign investment, we want the government to enable the THC, you know, give them the platform where they can get that foreign direct investment into the island. You know, all the different hiccups, the red tapes, if they can work it out so that we can bring investors in and spend money. We look at the Land License Act, and we ask if that License Act could be turned over to the THC for the processing of it, or just get rid of it entirely. Those things will really help us across in Tobago with foreign exchange.
That's interesting. We began our discussions this morning with Attorney Martin George, speaking about some of the challenges of Tobago. And it's interesting that in the budget presentation in the THA this year, THA Chief Secretary Farley Augustin outlined that total revenue was expected to be 211.4 something million US dollars. And when you put that on a backdrop that Tobago is going to spend $3.4 billion in this financial year, it says to you that Tobago's finances are far from where it should be in an ideal position. You're spending so much more than you're making, and it does not seem as if there is the ability or the will at this point in time to shift that, because for a number of years, Tobago has not been able to make $200 million. These initiatives that you're talking about, the land tenure issue and all of these others, can they really make that serious of a dent when it comes to the earning potential of Tobago?
Oh, definitely. These initiatives could really make a big difference, even at the quarry where we want to export our stone, and we can't do it because we need a permission from the energy ministry, and if these permissions or these approvals is not forthcoming, then we are hindered in doing a lot of things that we want to do across in Tobago, and we know for sure that the THA inherit a debt from the previous incarnation, but they need to pay these debts, and these are the contractors and suppliers that they owed. They can't use the funds that they got for development to pay these debts. So we're asking the minister to probably make some long sum payments across, transfer to Tobago to clear up this big debt that we have with owing these lots of contractors on the island. And I mean, that have a whole spin-off in funds that have been moving around. It's really, really tough for most of them.
Well, interestingly enough, in the same budget presentation in the THA, the chief secretary outlined that still outstanding from its allocation from the last financial year is about just over $200 million. And I thought that to be really interesting, given the balances owed to contractors. Well, there are some other issues related to Tobago. I'll try to get in before the discussion is over. But overall, the chamber must be concerned about the issue of crime and how that's impacting on business. We had you all on for the anti-crime week that we had in discussions. You gave us your position back then. We are being told that post-budget, we will have discussions between the opposition and the government on crime. Hopefully, we'll get some headway. What is the chamber looking for? What are some of the things you'd like to see when it comes to addressing crime?
Well, we know that one of the biggest uses of the budget, or one of the biggest consumption in the budget area, is the national security allocation. We're not saying that should be reduced. We think that it should be wisely put to use. So whatever we put there must be efficiently used, that we get the most bang for our buck there.
Mm-hmm.
So we look forward to that. But you mentioned something earlier, just before, where you said we're looking forward to the opposition and the government working together. That's something we've been saying for quite a while. And to the extent that we, the chambers, have also the various chambers, and there are quite a few. There are four major ones in the country, and then there are several other geographically located ones. And we're all of the opinion that if we work together with the protective services, we can make a serious dent in crime, because we're not going to be just talking about particular business areas, but we're talking about geographical areas also affecting, or working together with the police of the area to make an impact on crime. With all that positive movement in the right direction, I think that can make a very big assistance in a lot of assistance to the protective services in getting where they're required, which is getting everything under control, having visibility of what's going on when things are going wrong, and being quick to react and being able to apprehend criminals in the actions. We saw I saw a video recently. I mean, everything goes across social media so much nowadays, but very quick action. It took place in San Juan when a robber entered a business place, and he managed to take all the money, but he didn't realize it was a policeman, because someone had stepped out of the business and caught a policeman outside. And when he turned around with all the money to leave, there was a policeman staring at him, facing him. And that does happen on a daily basis. We see that there are things that are positive that are happening. We see a lot of the negatives, of course, because some of them are quite heinous, and we'd like to get away from those. But we see a lot of positives. We have to try and work with the positives to make sure that those overcome the negatives in a serious way, so we can stamp out crime throughout the country. And that can only happen if we all work together.
And what's the situation in Tobago when it comes to crime and businesses?
Well, we have a good working relationship with our ACP, Hazel, here. There are opportunities, though. we ask, in our upcoming Tobago Carnival October here, we ask for the presence of the police to be throughout, because we want a crime-free October for our Carnival upcoming. We know we will have a lot of visitors on island, so we are really asking their law enforcement agencies to come out in their numbers and give us the support. We know they are challenged with vehicles and manpower, and the other agencies are really having the same issue. So then we ask, after the budget and all is set and settled, if the Minister of Security, National Security, can visit us so he can see firsthand some of the issues plagued by these officers. You know, no dormitory in the Coast Guard. There's no boat, and no dormitory, no officers' quarters. They're operating from Trinidad. And imagine the base commander is operating from Trinidad. Mm-hmm. You can imagine all the heads, and he trying to coordinate what's happening in Tobago, is because there's no accommodation for him. and the army doesn't have proper accommodation as well. So we're really asking upon the Minister of National Security after the budget debate to visit us and see for himself firsthand some of the challenges the guys have across here. But notwithstanding the challenges, though, they definitely will be on the ground, and we hope that the carnival is a safe one.
Yeah, that's I know that another issue, when we speak of, people think it's only a Tobago issue, but it's not, and that is the issue of the transport into Ireland, both Airbridge and Seabridge. When we talk about it, people say, well, you know, that's a Tobago thing, but it's not. You have businesses in Trinidad that are directly affected by not being able to send their products and their manufactured goods or their services or whatever else to Tobago because of these problems that we continue to have from both sides. What are some of the things you'd like to see, or have you made proposals on this regard?
Well, we have.
Yeah, actually, go ahead.
Just maybe, Curtis, do you want to talk about that meeting we had last week?
Yes, definitely. We had a meeting last week with the Minister of Works and Transport, and we invited all the different association and stakeholders across the island. The minister brought across his team, NITCO, vice chair and executive. Also, the Port Authority chairman and executives were here as well. And we had such a fruitful and really, really great meeting. Coming out of that meeting, there's some takeaways. The acquiring of a new vessel. The RFP will be out soon, and we will see the specs of this new vessel that we are trying to acquire. The time date acquiring such might be 18 months plus. We also see the repairs of the TT Spirit. The minister indicated that they will complete those repairs by October month end, and that vessel will be a backup vessel for the Cabastar in case of, you know, the Cabastar have to go down. We also see that where the relationship between the port and the chamber, the minister indicated to the port to have two of their representatives, both from Trinidad and Tobago, sit with the chamber on our committee or inter-island committee, so we could discuss things about the sea bridge going forward, so we don't have the falling out or any of that misinformation that has been passed throughout the past couple of weeks. So I mean, work is in progress, and we are really pleased and happy about that. You know, the air bridge. Yes, we spoke to Carl about the situation with the air bridge, and I traveled yesterday, and I noticed that they're working on it, and it seemed like there's some more flights. But I'll be waiting for Carl to see what they have done and what they will be doing for the upcoming carnival period or really peak time, and working on it for us. So I'm pleased with what we see so far, and I'm definitely, we at the Tobago Division will hold the minister and all the technocrats accountable for their promises. Yeah. That's what we were definitely going to do.
We're almost out of time for our interview already, and I know that post-budget we'll have some more discussions, because then we'll know.
Yes.
Right now, everybody's speculating as to what may or may not happen, and the discussions are worthwhile, but they are being held in a speculatory kind of tone, because we really don't know what's going to happen.
That's exactly it. We're saying what we wish for, and we're hoping it influences what, because we are not just wishing in vain. Mm-hmm. We have studied the economy, and we look at what is required, and we give our suggestions based on some of the people we have in various different areas of the economy in different sectors. One thing I like to point out is that these things can only be really accomplished if people work together,
right.
If people listen to each other and try to find a solution working together. And that's really kind of what's important. We have a post-budget debate next Tuesday at the Hyatt from 8:30 to 11:30. And we really hope to get down and duty and deep into what is coming out of the budget and how we can react to what the minister does suggest. Maybe there'll be all really good suggestions and we'll be fantastic. It'll be a celebration. Who knows? Or we'll be looking at whatever he's provided for us and seeing how we can move the economy forward with that, so that we can be all, you know, geared up a little bit easier and get going. Because the economy needs a little stimulation. We're hoping for that coming out of the ministry.
Before we wrap up, let me get your comments on the hot button topic, autonomy for Tobago, and how that's going to impact on what's going on. The Tobago arm and here in Trinidad as well will be closely monitoring this. Do you all think autonomy, greater autonomy, whatever that may mean, because there's so many different meanings to that, would be a greater thing for business, or is going to present more challenges? Let's hear from Tobago first.
I think it's in a positive direction. It does need to be managed properly as we move ahead. But it's very positive for us, and it will do well for business across Tobago.
And in your opinion?
I think similarly. I think it just needs to be managed well. Giving responsibility to someone too early could be disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if it's monitored and managed well, it is something that could work very well with the current, because they know what they need and they know what they require for growth, perhaps a little better than we do. So a little monitoring, a little holding hands, and we can probably do it a little bit better.
Well, everybody's holding hands at this point in time in anticipation of what the finance minister is going to present. But as I said, only time will tell.
Yes.
The budget presentation is on Monday. We have live coverage. I know you have your post-budget, and I think we're going to be there carrying some elements of that for our listeners. I've been to this before. In my television days, I would be to the post-budget that the chamber holds, and it is very comprehensive. It always is, and it's one of the most sought-after post-budget events because there's a clear clinical analysis of what transpired and what it actually means. Unfortunately, we don't have a population that sees some of these discussions or some of these events as important as they are. We're hoping that it changes because people need to know. And
you're quite right there in that a lot of people feel that it doesn't affect them, but it really does affect everyone in the country. It affects the smallest person who is on the side of the road, and it does have a trickle-down effect. So when I say that, I'm not really being exaggerating it.
Mm.
I think that it really does affect everyone in the country, and we should all pay attention, and we should have a comment, and we should have a say.
Yeah,
we tried to do that.
Here at Freedom 106.5, we thought so, and that's why we've had an entire week of discussions dedicated to the budget, and I'm sure more of the same is going to happen next week. Gentlemen, this is where we drop the curtains on our interview. I'm positive we'll speak to you both again after we hear from our finance minister. Thank you both for being with us here this morning. It was my pleasure having you both.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.